It's a whiteout at MetLife Stadium tonight as the New York Giants host the Dallas Cowboys on Monday Night Football. Joining us to talk about the matchup is Jeff Cavanaugh. He is the host of Believe in Cowboys and a Cowboys YouTube personality. Going to help us get all the lowdown we need on the Dallas Cowboys coming up next here on the Locked On Giants podcast.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. I'm Patricia Traina. Happy to have you with us. It is Monday Night Football, an all-whiteout event planned at MetLife Stadium as the New York Giants host the Dallas Cowboys. It's going to be a rocking and rolling event at MetLife Stadium. The Giants honoring some 7 members of the organization at halftime as part of the Ring of Honor. But there's a football game to be played. And here to help us talk about the Dallas Cowboys is Jeff Cavanaugh. He is the host of the Believe in Cowboys podcast. He is also a Cowboys YouTube personality. You can find all the information about Jeff in the show notes below. Jeff, thank you so much for coming on the Locked On Giants podcast and welcome.
Of course. Thank you. Hello, hello, hello.
All right. I'm excited about this matchup. It's an NFC East division matchup. And Jeff, a lot of stuff, always a lot of stuff with the Cowboys, a lot of, you know, things coming out. And I've got to start off with the quarterback situation. Cooper Rush has stepped in for Dak Prescott, and he's played fairly well. And I'm just wondering, what have they done on offense to maybe make things, I don't want to say easier, but what have they changed maybe to better suit what Cooper Rush does as opposed to what Dak Prescott does?
I think it was pretty consistent with what people do around the league when you get down to your backup quarterback. The Cowboys ended up using a lot of 2 tight ends, and they wanted to lean on Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard and just have Cooper Rush make plays when it was required of him. And to his credit, I think the 2 most important plays he had to make were the very first drive of the game on 4th and 2 in their own end, and he made a play to Noah Brown. And then on 3rd and 9 on their 2nd drive, and again, he made a play to Noah Brown, and he made a couple of plays that he had to play. I wouldn't say the offense played well, but they led most of the game, and they managed to put the drive together that they needed at the end to kick a long field goal and win that bad boy. So Cooper Rush gets credit for last year when he had to play against the Vikings. He got a win on the road, and now in a game last week, he went out and he got a win. But they do everything they can to have him not be a big factor in the game. That's their goal.
All right. I was going to ask you, if the game comes down to, you know, a game-winning drive, is he capable of doing that? And what does he do well for this offense?
I think it's very much a backup quarterback thing around the league, where if you want to say, like, is Cooper Rush an elite processor? No. Is he does he have super arm talent? No. Is he super athletic? No. I just, like, he's a guy that is carving out an NFL career as a backup, and I don't think that he has any standout traits, but he's been here for a while, so he has familiarity with the coaching staff, with the players, and in the case of, like, say, Noah Brown had a big game last week, that's a guy that honestly has been, like, the 5th wide receiver on this roster forever, so Cooper Rush probably has a rhythm with him because as scout team, he's been thrown to him for years. So he's a guy that's been around, that's familiar, and if you don't put too much on his plate or ask too much, the last 2 years has a track record of being able to step in and play okay.
And, you know, speaking of the weapons, you mentioned Noah Brown. You know, are the Cowboys missing Amari Cooper, or has Noah Brown kind of stepped up and filled the void along with the other guys that are returning, CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup?
I think it'll play out over time that they absolutely miss Amari Cooper, but now I think there's a pretty good chance that Michael Gallup's going to give it a go this week, and so you'll have him back in the lineup. But to go from an offense that was Dak Prescott throwing to Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, and Michael Gallup to now where Gallup is kind of back, But still trying to name that CeeDee Lamb, Noah Brown, and Michael Gallup. And before that, it was Simi Fehoko and Dennis Houston, who they then waived. I think that the Cowboys do not have very good weaponry when it comes to offense. Unless Michael Gallup can get back to form in a hurry, and the glimpses from Noah Brown early this year are an indication of a guy who really is capable of being a solid NFL starter, then in that case, you would feel pretty good. But coming into the year, I certainly felt like, yeah, they're going to miss Amari Cooper.
Has Kellen Moore had to adjust his play calling in any way, shape, or form without Amari Cooper in there?
I have not noticed a big difference. I think it more affects the quarterbacks in terms of where are we going to plan to throw the ball? Because when you're out there and your receivers are Dennis Houston and Simi Fehoko, then the defenses are going to play you a different way. And it becomes more of a challenge to get the ball to your best playmaker in CeeDee Lamb, because there's not somebody else out there that teams are worried about. But it's weird that this offseason, the Cowboys decided they're okay with it, that their offensive line was probably going to be worse than a year ago. And the receiver core was probably going to be worse than a year ago. And Jerry Jones sold it as, well, we needed to spend that money elsewhere. And they didn't. They didn't spend that money anywhere. So their franchise quarterback is going to be put to the test this year.
Speaking of which, I want to go back to that for a second. Jerry recently said, and I'm going to paraphrase here, that if he has a quarterback controversy between Rush and Dak Prescott, he'll walk to New Jersey. And I got to admit, when I saw that, I'm like, didn't they just invest in Prescott? I mean, why would Jerry want to invite that?
I think the underlying theme is obviously truth, where, yeah, I want Cooper Rush to play really well because that means we might win some football games. But no, the idea that this could turn into a Tony Romo, Dak Prescott thing is the most absurd thing I've heard Jerry hint at in a long time. But he does it on purpose, because he knows it'll get you to ask the question. I've already done a video today where we had to address that he said it. Jerry's dream is that whatever channel he turns it on, whatever newspaper he opens, that the Cowboys are a topic. And they will be, because of things like that. And it's his specialty.
Yeah, he is a master marketer. Now let's talk about the offensive line. The Cowboys offensive line, once upon a time, used to be an all-world offensive line, probably one of, if not the best O-lines in the NFL. They've had some changes. Are the changes, can we say that the offensive line is different, better, or somewhere in between?
Different is definitely true. They did not intend to come into this season with, I mean, goodness, think about it. It's multiple guys that went down before they even got going. Or I guess Connor McGovern started in the first game. But ideally, Connor McGovern wasn't going to play in football games. Tyler Smith, their first-round pick, was not going to play left tackle. He was going to play left guard. And so they cut Lyle Collins, which just sort of makes them look even worse if this doesn't go well. Because you had a capable starting offensive lineman who was affordable. But much like Amari Cooper, the front office just didn't like him. They did not want him here, and so they get rid of him. So right now, I think Tyler Smith has surpassed expectations for a guy who didn't take any snaps at left tackle in camp to go out there and be serviceable or better. Has been really, really good. They're down to their third string left guard, which has been struggle bus, Matt Farniok. Tyler Biadasz, I would say, has been serviceable. Zach Martin's obviously Zach Martin. And Terrence Steele, 1 week of four penalties and bad football, 1 week of good football. It's so much of what the Cowboys are going to be able to do, and if they're going to be able to compete to win the division, is going to come down to how do these guys play. And it ain't the names we're used to when you just knew that your line was going to dominate.
Yeah, and it's scary. I mean, the Giants, of course, have been going through different changes of their offensive line, and it takes time for that unit to gel. Certainly. And, you know, like I said, that all world line for a long time, they played together and they were just so good. I want to ask you now about the running back situation, because there are some people, and I don't know how true this is. You would probably know since you're closer to covering the team, that say Tony Pollard is maybe a little bit more of a weapon than Zeke Elliott. I think they complement each other, you know, from the outside looking in. I think they're more of a complement to each other. How do you see that that taking place, because Tony Pollard's really come on in the last few years.
I think both things are true, that they complement each other very well. But I think if I had to pick one, not I think, I know, if I had to pick one that I wanted to get the ball more often, it would be Tony Pollard. I think Tony Pollard over the last 3 years, every way that we can try to measure running back play now, whether you want yards per carry, yards per catch, yards per target, broken tackle percentage, big plays, every way we can possibly measure running back play, Tony Pollard's outperformed Zeke every year of his career. But it's the Dallas Cowboys. There are a lot of number 21 jerseys out there. He's still a good running back. He makes $15 million a year. He's going to play a lot. But Tony Pollard is the one that is going to give you, and especially backup quarterback playing right now, or in the case of the Giants, where you have kind of an iffy offensive line, you don't really want the ball in the hands of your quarterback all that much. When you're going to lean on handoffs and short passing game and who can change this game for me, Tony Pollard can. Zeke, I don't think can anymore. You don't get the 20 plus yard runs. You don't get breakaway speed. You get a steady, good runner who's going to fall forward. He's a good player. Tony Pollard next year, when somebody else pays him and makes him their feature back, I think Tony Pollard's going to be a star.
Interesting, because, you know, Zeke used to be the guy and they invested a lot in Zeke, you know, that big contract. And, you know, now the Cowboys, if they aren't going forward with him, you know, they're going to have
Zeke. I think Zeke might be getting released after this season.
Really? Wow.
That's when it becomes affordable with the contract to release him if they want to.
Interesting. Certainly, you know, an interesting turn of events at the running back spot. Now let's also talk about the tight end, because typically the tight end's been very heavily used in the Cowboys offense. But if I'm not mistaken, I think Schultz is he dealing with injuries?
So he has a sprained knee. And as they've been going through the week, they're giving him a little bit more each day. And they're going to try to give him every chance they can to play on Monday. But as of the moment, he would be, in my mind, I don't even have a lean on if he'll play or not. I would list him as real life questionable. So don't know if Dalton Schultz will be playing yet.
And if he doesn't play, how much does that offense lose?
I think it loses a decent amount. I do think they franchise tagged Dalton Schultz. And when they did it, they didn't really try to get him signed long-term. So I think there's a pretty decent chance they drafted Jake Ferguson, the Wisconsin tight end, in the fourth round to be his replacement a year from now. And he's been getting a lot of playing time in the first 2 weeks already. They play him together. What changes is if you want to go two tight ends, now your second one is Peyton Hendershot, who's an undrafted free agent. He impressed in camp. The Cowboys really like him. He earned his way onto the team. But you are going into now, you look around and you go, okay, are we iffy at wide receiver? Are we iffy at tight end? Are we iffy on the offensive line? And with our backup quarterback? Okay, we have a challenge on our hands. Let's go win.
Hey, Giant fans, this podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life can be full of twists and turns that can really test our resolve. If you need a little extra support, BetterHelp is standing by waiting to assist. BetterHelp will pair you with a licensed professional therapist in less than 48 hours with whom you can message anytime you need that extra boost in your day. This isn't a crisis line or self-help. It's a professional therapy service done securely and discreetly online. And right now you can save 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/lockedon. Again, that's betterhelp.com/lockedon. All right, we're speaking with Jeff Cavanaugh. He is the host of the Believe in Cowboys podcast. He's a Cowboys YouTuber. He knows all things Dallas Cowboys, and he's given us the intel on the Dallas Cowboys, who come into MetLife Stadium tonight to face the New York Giants on an all-white New York Giants home game. Should be a rocking stadium. Looking forward to it. And Jeff, let's talk about that Cowboys defense. And I think we all know where we've got to start when we talk about that defense. Micah Parsons, this guy is just turning into an absolute beast for the Cowboys defense. Can you talk about how he has been deployed in that defense? And, you know, because trying to figure out where he's going to line up consistently is like, you know, finding a needle in a haystack.
I would guess for the Giants that Evan Neal would want to get ready, because I think he's going to see Micah Parsons a ton, because the Cowboys, when they signed Anthony Barr during training camp and he was able to be ready and able to be a starting caliber NFL linebacker, that was perfect. because it allows them to play, you know, most NFL teams on most downs now just play with two linebackers. So Leighton Vander Esch and Anthony Barr can play linebacker. And Micah Parsons, I'm doing this off the top of my head, but I believe 52 of his 55 defensive snaps last week were played on the edge. So they are sending Micah Parsons after the quarterback because they feel like they have capable linebacker play back there where they don't need him. Now, depending on what teams want to do, I do think they'll change what Micah's job is. If they played San Francisco tomorrow, Micah might play a decent amount of linebacker, anticipating having to run down different running plays, sideline to sideline. He did that when they played the 49ers in the playoffs because he was the one guy that could tackle Debo Samuel. But yeah, they're setting him up to get after the passer a lot. He's got two sacks in each of the first two games. I, when they drafted him, didn't love the pick because I was like, man, you picked a linebacker in the top 12. And I couldn't have been more wrong because it turns out that he's probably just the best pass rusher in football, not a linebacker.
Yeah. And the Giants, of course, passed over him. But, they, you know, that's a whole other story, an open wound that we don't want to go back to if we're the Giants. But, you know, I read, you know, and disclaimer, we're recording this on a Friday. So I read that Parsons now has missed 2 days of practice. What's going on there? And do you think that's going to affect his chances of being available on Monday night?
Nothing I've heard makes me think that it's going to affect his availability. It's just one of those things that it's interesting because all the information that we are getting from Mike McCarthy or Jerry Jones is that he's basically under the weather. And so they're just letting him rest and making sure that he's good to go on Monday night. So don't really have big details on it, but that's what we're getting is that basically Micah Parsons has a cold. And so they are taking their time with him to get ready. As long as he's out there, he'll be fine. I mean, the dude is he's one of those guys that's just a machine. I don't know that he gets tired. he'll be out there and he'll be ready to go.
How does he complement the defensive front?
I think he kind of unlocks it for other people already as a pass rusher. Where last week, Leighton Vander Esch got a sack that was because Micah Parsons won. And Joe Burrow had to move to let someone else get him a sack. Dorrance Armstrong gets a sack because of Micah Parsons. I'd like to see it mean that Tank Lawrence starts getting some sacks because he's a really good player that catches flat because he makes a bunch of money and doesn't put up a ton of numbers in terms of sacks. But I think he unlocks it for everybody. And as long as they can get to third downs where it's five, maybe even four more yards where most teams are going to pass the ball, then the Cowboys get to go to Micah Parsons, Dante Fowler, and then they'll move defensive ends inside Tank Lawrence and Dorrance Armstrong, and they can really get after people. And Micah's the problem. It ain't going to be long before he is having to deal with being chipped on every play and tight ends and running backs getting in his way. I'm surprised he hasn't seen it more, but I would imagine it's on the way.
Now, if there's one area on the Cowboys that I think from the outside looking in may be a little shaky, the defensive secondary, is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think they've got two corners that what you would say about them is they're NFL starters. Like Anthony Brown, he's all right. Jordan Lewis, he's all right. Safety play, Jayron Kearse is out, but when he's out there, Jayron Kearse was awesome last year. Malik Hooker is, I think, starting caliber and probably a little bit better than that. Donovan Wilson, their other safety who will play because Jayron Kearse won't. League average-ish. And then Trayvon Diggs is obviously the star of the secondary, but he's also so polarizing because the way he plays is just so incredibly aggressive that he makes a bunch of plays and you're going to give up some. And it's just, it's the style that he plays and it's fun to watch. So I would say at this moment, I would call the Cowboys secondary average to above average. And if I had to pick a weakness, I would probably say run defense for this team.
Which of course, facing Saquon Barkley, probably not a good matchup. So with that said, if you're the Cowboys, how do you defend Saquon Barkley? Do you kind of borrow what the Panthers did last week in the first half, or do you go in a whole different direction?
I'm always kind of torn on this because I do believe that today's NFL is won in the passing game because you just get big plays so much more often and big plays lead to points. But if I were the Cowboys, I would probably prioritize stopping Saquon and say, if we get beat by Daniel Jones and Sterling Shepard, then it is what it is. And I like Kadarius Toney is the guy that would actually scare me the most. But for some reason, the Giants, it seems like every time he gets into the game, he makes a play and then he jogs back to the sideline. So I don't know what's going on there, but he's the guy that scares me the most. And it was his college scouting report too, where it was like coaching staffs were like, we don't really want to coach him, but he's a hell of a player.
Yeah. He's had some injury issues. He's dealing with a tight hamstring. Should be out there, but you know, you never know with hamstrings. They are very, very tricky. What other matchups, I don't want to say scare you, but concern you about this game from a Cowboys perspective?
Let me see. I just want to pull up, make sure I have everybody properly here. I think potentially Sterling Shepard is an issue. If he is lined up in the slot against Jordan Lewis, I've always liked Sterling Shepard as a route runner and a guy who has an ability to separate. And other than that, I think if Kayvon Thibodeau and Azeez Ojulari are out there, then that defensive line with Leonard Williams being able to win as pass rushers, potentially not having a lot of time to throw. This will be the first time both of them have played though, right? But I think Kayvon Thibodeau, I think he's going to be defensive rookie of the year. I think he's great. And Azeez Ojulari is a guy I like too. So probably those guys. And number one is probably Leonard Williams against the Cowboys interior offensive line would be the thing I fear.
Yeah, but I don't think Leonard's going to play this week. He's
got the Cowboys MCL. Win by 30. By 30, wow. By 30, I mean 20 to 19.
Okay. Actually, I think Thibodeau and Ojulari are going to play, but Leonard's got that sprained MCL. I know he wants to play, but I don't know if he's going to get cleared to play. It would be the first time in his career if he doesn't play. But hey, listen, last year Leonard played with a painful triceps injury when the season was basically down the tube. So you never know. He might not, but I wouldn't expect him to play in this game. Jeff, what do you think the X factor is with this game?
Cooper Rush. I think anytime you have a backup quarterback playing, the X factor is, you know, last week people are going to remember it as he played well because the Cowboys won. He made a couple of plays on a couple of drives and they were able to kick a field goal and get out of there. But he had a few opportunities to give the ball away and he kind of tried, but the Bengals weren't able to capitalize on it. So I would say the way that Cooper Rush plays, and is he able to involve CeeDee Lamb and these wide receivers, or does it become a game where it's two teams that are just smashing into each other over and over again, running the ball? And that comes down to how does a backup quarterback play?
Yeah. Now I've got to ask you about the coaching, because there's been some rumblings that maybe Mike McCarthy's on the hot seat, that maybe the pressure has been cranked up a little bit. Have you seen anything overall different about how McCarthy and staff are coaching this year versus maybe last year?
No, I think everything seems to be the same. You know, a week ago before they played the Bengals was the first kind of crack in the armor we'd seen, where he kind of talked about Kellen Moore and an offense and some things that he didn't like and ways to call a game, which was like, oh, this is interesting. Are we getting ready to start pointing fingers? But then you win a game. I don't think, honestly, and he should have, but I don't think Mike McCarthy fully knew what he was getting into when he signed on to coach the Cowboys, where he wants to be secretive about who's doing what and all these different things. And then 5 minutes later, Jerry Jones tells everybody everything. I don't know that he was fully prepared for what he was getting into. And Dan Quinn is on the staff and he's a good coach and he'll probably have an opportunity to be a head coach again in this league. And Sean Payton exists and Jerry loves to talk about him and it's his friend, and Sean Payton loves to talk about himself and put himself out there. So you're going to have rumors. And if the Cowboys don't have a good year, then Mike McCarthy will be gone, but it doesn't seem like something that affects him a bunch. He's just up there doing the job. And if it ends up being somebody else's next year, or it would take a disaster for the Cowboys to let a coach go during the season. But right. Unless the season ends really well. Yeah. I think either Dan Quinn or Sean Payton or somebody else will be coaching him next year.
Yeah, and Dan Quinn, of course, interviewed for the Giants, or actually, I don't think he interviewed, but I think he was on the Giants shortlist last year. And, you know, he's done wonders with that defense. I mean, that defense under Mike Nolan, I think, was historically bad, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's night and day. And it's night and day watching the way the players respond to him too. Dan Quinn, he's a really good coach that people like to play for.
Yeah, you can see it in his players. All right, final question for you. Give me a prediction for Monday night.
I'm going Cowboys 20, Giants 19.
Ooh, low scoring game. You think it's going to be a defensive battle?
Yeah, I think combination of defensive battle and neither team being very good at offense, where I think there's going to be a lot of rushing attempts and both teams trying not to turn the ball over. And I just can't fathom in my head the Giants starting 3-0. So that's why I'm picking the Cowboys.
Well, if they can pass for more than 200 yards, they give themselves a little better chance at starting 3-0. But certainly the Giants off to a 2-0 start surprised a lot of people around the league. You know, some people have said that, you know, they're one of the worst 2-0 teams currently in the NFL.
I might or might not have said that about 30 minutes ago when I was doing a show. Yeah.
All right. Well, see, that's why they line up and play the game, right?
It is.
All right, Jeff, great stuff. Appreciate you coming on again. He is Jeff Cavanaugh. He is the host of the Believe in Cowboys podcast. You can also find him on YouTube. All the information will be in the show notes. So make sure you check him out for all things Dallas Cowboys, who the Giants will see again on Thanksgiving Day this year. So a rare Thanksgiving Day appearance for the Giants. And Jeff, again, thank you for coming on with us. Giant fans, thank you so much for tuning in. We will be back tomorrow with a new episode. David Turner and I will break down the Monday night game. We'll get that out to you as soon as we can on Tuesday morning. And then we'll just keep on rolling right along as New York Giants season progresses. For Jeff Cavanaugh, I'm Patricia Traina. Everybody, enjoy the game tonight.